Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth, and with me today is my partner and my special guest, Dave Zangrilli. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Wayne.
A little bit of background on Dave. He's a principal in the firm's family law and domestic relations practice, the firm being Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, and he represents clients in courts throughout Virginia, including Northern Virginia counties of Arlington, Fairfax, Loudoun, Prince William, and others. He's been a family law attorney for almost 10 years, and he strives to meet each individual client's specific needs in the most efficient, thorough, and cost-effective manner possible by providing sound advice, both legal and practical, and hopefully meeting the reasonable expectations of the client and also engaging in zealous advocacy on behalf of the client. He's representing clients who are engaged to be married in negotiating and drafting prenuptial agreements, those that are married that are seeking a separation or divorce, and clients who've never been married but have children and therefore are involved in custody issues. He practices, again, in trial court, mostly in Virginia, right?
Correct.
Okay. And he's often retained by spouses after their trial's finished who are unhappy with the results achieved by their former counsel to file appeals in the Virginia Courts of Appeal.
That's right.
That's fascinating. Well, today we're going to be talking about the provocative topic of adultery.
Yes,
now,
sir.
This is a PG show, Dave, so we have to be careful in what we're saying and how we say it, but it is a provocative topic. It's an interesting topic. I'm sure some of our listeners out there who are driving around in their cars right now want to hear what is adultery, at least in the standard definition.
That's a good place to start. Adultery is it's sexual intercourse. It's not dating. It's not sending emails. It's not having what we often call an emotional affair. It's sexual intercourse or any other sexual act, which commonly has the term sex in it.
So Bill Clinton's definition, where he was saying, I am not having sex with that woman, or I did not have sex with that woman, would not necessarily fall outside of the definition of adultery. It might actually be considered adultery.
That's absolutely correct.
All right. And so, and is the definition uniform pretty much across jurisdiction to jurisdiction? I mean, does it matter where it occurred? Does it matter that it occurred only, you know, in Virginia, Maryland, Colorado?
You know, that's a good question. I couldn't tell you the definition of adultery. Adultery is actually a crime in Virginia. Believe it or not, it's still on the books. It's a misdemeanor.
Wow.
Of course, no one ever gets prosecuted for adultery, but it's still on the books. The reason that's important is because you can plead the Fifth Amendment. Don't have to incriminate yourself because adultery is still a crime.
All right.
You know, one of the issues with the Fifth is if the adultery was committed in a state, to answer your question, committed in a state where adultery is not a crime, can you assert your Fifth Amendment privileges? Because if for example, New Jersey does not consider adultery a crime, if you commit adultery in New Jersey, can you be arrested for that?
I see.
And the answer to that is really unclear. And it depends on the individual judge in Virginia as to whether he or she would allow the client to assert the Fifth Amendment privileges.
So generally, we know what adultery is. How does a spouse go about proving adultery?
It's a great question. Adultery is very difficult to prove legally. And the reason
unless there's something, you know, generally directly incriminating the individual.
That's exactly right. Because of the Fifth Amendment, it can be very difficult to prove. Most spouses will not admit that they have committed adultery. And the standard of proof for adultery is fairly high.
Okay.
You hear on TV, you know, if you watch Law and Order, beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
That's the highest standard of proof, which is only in criminal cases.
Okay.
The normal standard of proof in civil cases is called a preponderance of the evidence, which basically means 51%. You know, have you proven something more likely than not?
Mm-hmm.
The legal standard for proving adultery is called clear and convincing evidence.
Ah, that's a high standard.
It is. So it's kind of between beyond a reasonable doubt and preponderance of the evidence.
Okay. And so what do they have to do to go about proving that? I mean, what types of evidence would they have to show?
There's a lot of ways you can prove it. One way is obviously if the spouse admits to it. Even if the spouse admits to it, though, the law in Virginia is still that you need a little more. The law is that you have to corroborate that fact. So maybe you also have an email or a plane ticket or a hotel receipt or something else, which at least gives a little corroboration to the spouse's admission.
So the mere fact that the spouse admits committing adultery isn't necessarily probative, isn't necessarily going to prove that adultery occurred.
That's correct. The public policy behind that is that Virginia is so pro-marriage that they don't want spouses conspiring together who just want to get a divorce, where one spouse will say, oh, yeah, and lie about it. Oh, yeah, I committed adultery. That's not enough. You actually have to offer a little more proof that that spouse did, in fact, commit adultery.
Okay.
But, absent the spouse admitting it, you know, today, in today's world, with all the technology, we see a lot of emails. The spouse will find a text message or an email from the paramour.
Right.
Which leads into another difficult area, and that's, and I think many people will be surprised to hear this, that you can't go on your spouse's computer, even if it's a family computer, and install software, install these keystroke loggers, or install other software to track, you know, what your spouse is doing. That's illegal in Virginia.
Okay.
And there's also federal laws that address this as well.
All right.
So, clients,
listeners, are you listening to this?
Listeners, beware.
Okay.
You really should not be doing that. The only way you can access, and the whole issue with this is it password protected?
Okay.
If it's password protected, then you cannot access that. You can't hack into it. Sometimes a spouse will, and this is always surprising to me, will leave their email open on the computer, and the other spouse walks in and sees it and starts printing those off. That's fine. But what you can't do is hack into your spouse's computer.
Okay.
And of course, we see it with Facebook now. It's always amazing to me the things people will post on Facebook.
In a public forum,
In a public domain. I've seen cases where one spouse has posted that they're now engaged to their girlfriend or boyfriend while the divorce case is still going on.
Oh, my goodness.
Which obviously is great evidence.
Yeah, sure.
You know, another source of evidence is friends. People talk to their friends. So it's easy to depose, say, you know, take the deposition of the husband's friend.
Isn't that hearsay? Isn't that something that is not admissible as evidence?
Not in Virginia. Hearsay, quickly, hearsay is an out-of-court statement. So I can't walk into court and say, Judge, you know, Joel told me that Mike said this.
Right.
But there's a different rule for the parties themselves. It's not hearsay if the husband said it or if the wife said it.
Wow.
So the husband's best friend, for example, could be forced to come into court and testify, oh, yeah, you know, husband told me that he's been having an affair with, you know, Sally.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's a good source of evidence. Private investigators, obviously, are a good source.
Tell me about that. I mean, I've always been interested about private investigators, hiring a private investigator. You know, let's say they go and follow somebody around. You know, wouldn't the person allege that you're invading my right to privacy? But in Virginia, I understand that that's not necessarily any kind of defense, is it?
That's right. You know, PIs are skilled at what they do. They're certified and licensed. You know, is a word of caution. They're very expensive.
Yes.
Their hourly rates often are not that high, but what people don't realize is they'll go on a stakeout for 8 or 10 hours.
Right.
And those fees tend to add up fairly quickly.
Right.
And, you know, PIs are great if they can, you know, kind of get the money shot, so to speak. But oftentimes the private investigators, because of some constraints, they can't, you know, really go onto the person's front porch and start snapping pictures through the windows.
Right.
They often have circumstantial evidence, where they will be able to testify, you know, yes, I saw husband go into Sally's home at 10 p.m. and he didn't come out until 6 a.m. the next morning.
You always think of the private investigator on the TV shows as, you know, staking him out and taking these pictures with great cameras, you know, watching them kiss or whatever, and, you know, in the inside of an apartment or a hotel or outside of a car or a restaurant or something like that.
Right, and that happens occasionally, but it's
have you ever had cases like that?
Yes. But I can tell you, those are few and far between. More often than not, the PI doesn't get that great shot.
Now that we're talking about this lurid topic of adultery, I mean, what anecdotes do you have for us that won't reveal any kind of client confidences that you could tell us about some of the things that you've experienced in your practice?
Sure. And I've, you know, anecdotally, by talking to colleagues in the industry, we've basically seen it all over the years. We've seen, you know, obviously, many people have affairs with coworkers.
Right.
People, you'd be surprised at how often people have affairs with relatives on the,
you're kidding.
On their other side, you know, the wife, where the husband will have an affair with one of the wife's relatives, or vice versa,
okay.
Which creates unbelievable, emotions.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, those cases are always the knockdown, drag out ones because the emotions are so high, especially God forbid in a situation where, you know, one party gets pregnant.
Have you actually seen those instances or heard of them?
I have, absolutely.
Wow. Well, so adultery is, it's a lurid topic. It's provocative, but it's also, it could have a financial impact on the parties, couldn't it?
It can. And this is really the heart of the matter. You know, why is it important to prove adultery? Because you really can spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to prove that your spouse committed adultery, especially if you're talking about hiring a private investigator.
Right.
So is it worth it? Oftentimes it's not worth it. But let me kind of go through and tell you why it's important.
Okay.
The first reason is that if you can allege that your spouse has committed adultery, you can file for the divorce immediately. You know, oftentimes people say or know that there's a separation requirement. In Virginia, you have to be separated for 1 year before you can file for the divorce.
Okay.
You actually have to wait for that 1 year before you can even file.
I have a tangential question for you on separation real quickly.
Sure.
Once I've heard people saying that they're separated even though they're living in the same physical home. Is that true?
It is. It's possible.
So you can be legally separated but still living in the same home?
Yes. That's a pure factual determination.
Right.
You know, especially in this economy, we've seen this happen a lot more frequently where one spouse simply can't afford to move out.
So they live in a different room in the house.
Correct. And there's no magic checklist of things that you have to do to prove that you're separated.
Right.
But what I tell clients is the more things you can do, such as certainly not going places together in public, not wearing your wedding ring, not doing each other's laundry.
I know a lot of married people who don't do that. But I mean, you and I are wearing our wedding rings. But exactly.
You know, don't clean up after the other person. Obviously, sleep in separate bedrooms. Tell your family and friends that you're separated.
Yeah.
And the tricky part is that like adultery, you need to corroborate that fact.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, that's the tough part because people who are living separate and apart, they don't have friends coming over to the house.
Right.
To say, hey, look, you know, my husband's in the other room. Go look at my closet. You'll see that, you know, his clothes aren't in there.
Right.
So oftentimes, unfortunately, a teenage child will get dragged into it and they have to be the one who will corroborate. Oh, yeah, mommy and daddy have been living separately.
So anyway.
So that's one reason you can file for the divorce immediately,
mm-hmm.
Which can be useful because once you get a divorce case filed, then you can, you know, start requesting things, temporary child support.
Which you cannot do necessarily until the divorce is filed.
You may be able to by filing in the juvenile court, but that's kind of a whole separate topic.
It's a whole another topic, which we'll deal with at some point in time.
The big issue really is alimony.
Okay.
How does adultery affect alimony? First off, just in practice, not in the law, but in practice, what most attorneys have seen is that post-separation adultery is treated differently than pre-separation adultery.
I understand.
If the parties have already separated and are starting to move on with their lives, most judges don't want to hear about post-separation adultery.
Okay.
But if, under the law, if you are found guilty of adultery, you are not entitled to receive alimony, which is a really draconian law. And if you think about it—
At all?
At all.
Not just an adjustment, but it's zero alimony.
Correct. There is a slight exception, which I'll talk about in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But historically, when you think about it, women historically have been the ones who have received alimony. So that's
right.
A law that really affects them.
Right.
Where if the husband does it, big deal from a legal standpoint.
Because he's not normally expecting to receive alimony. Although in some cases I've seen recently that's been reversed.
It's changing. Times are slowly changing. I've been involved in a number of cases where I was successful in getting alimony for the husband.
Right.
But that's a huge factor.
Absolutely.
So there is a slight exception. I won't bore you with all the details, but essentially if you can prove that not receiving alimony is a quote-unquote manifest injustice,
mm-hmm.
whatever that means.
Meaning that they can't work and there's no way that they could ever support themselves.
Exactly. It's just so grossly unfair, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple caveats. If the husband or wife finds out that their spouse has committed adultery and then the couple has sexual relations thereafter, the non-cheating spouse has condoned the cheating spouse. So they can't thereafter try to use the other spouse's adultery.
So it negates the adultery.
It negates it. It cancels it out.
Wow. It's my lurid interest in a very provocative topic, but it is fascinating to understand what the impact is. Does it vary from state to state? I mean, Virginia obviously has its own rules. I would imagine that, you know, if listeners out there who are impacted by this issue in D.C. or Maryland, you're going to want to talk to somebody who's licensed to practice in Maryland or D.C. on this specific issue.
No question about it. No question.
And we're talking with Dave Zangrilli. He's my partner. He's a family law expert. Dave, if people want to get in touch with you to talk to you about adultery, divorce, separation, postnuptial, prenuptial agreements, how do they find you?
Wayne, they could either email me, my email address. It's on our website. It's on the OFPlaw.com website, but it's David.Zangrilli, Z-A-N-G-R-I-L-L-I, at OFPlaw.com. Or they can call me on my direct line, which is 703-218-2152.
Thanks for being a special guest once again on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thanks for having me, Wayne.
And thanks for listening. Have a great week.